This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the program. 3 o'clock is the time, Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in New York City with the Padres. They're getting set to take on the New York Mets starting tomorrow. Matt Scraby, he is in, where are you, Carlsbad?
Carlsbad, yes.
California?
I'm looking at quite the nice view right now.
Got a nice view.
Window.
Where's Lucky the dog? Did you bring Lucky the dog in for the show yet?
Lucky's at daycare right now.
Daycare?
So, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Can't trust Lucky while you're on the air?
No. I could definitely trust him. And if he's back in time, I will bring him into the room.
Bring him in. Adam Klug is here as well, sitting in for Scraby on the board.
Yeah, I would love to see your view.
I don't know if I can ready for this.
It's a building.
That's New York City, baby.
Oh, man. That's such a good view, Tony.
All the glory of New York City right there. Yeah. You can watch us and get a look at Tony's view from his hotel room if you're on the YouTube. Just look for 97.3 The Fan. And you can follow along with us on the stream there. We're headed towards 5 o'clock this evening. And then a little special scheduling change today. The Scraby Chronicles with Matt Scraby will take place from 5 to 6. And from 6 to 7 now tonight, you'll hear this week's Padre Roundtable, which...
How'd the roundtable go today?
I don't know. I was busy trying to figure out where I was after being late. I never caught up, you know? You know when that happens, Tony? If you're ever running late to something, you finally get there.
Yeah, you play catch-up all day.
And then you're playing catch-up. But, yeah, it was good. I mean, I was honestly not surprised, but the tenor of the roundtable today... was just happiness. It was just,
figure.
Yeah, this
Go
team is incredible.
Figure.
We love these guys. They're great. I mean, I tried to finally point out, I mean, everybody's talking about how they're hitting home runs and this, they're doing this and that. And they AJ Preller put together the right squad. And I'm like, just 7 days ago, everyone was complaining about the fact that they couldn't hit home runs and AJ Preller needed to find somebody on the trade market fast. And now everything is wonderful. So,
yes.
I had
this strange feeling when I put the headset down yesterday and got on the plane that today's roundtable. I just had this. Oh. I don't know what it was. It just something just came over me that made me feel like it was going to be like super positive.
It was.
Today.
It was.
Wow.
Next stop, October, Tony. Climb aboard. Climb aboard.
It goes back to what we've been saying. Bill James said it best.
Yes, he did.
We got your 500. We are going to be the most extreme fans ever be during that time. We are the greatest. We are the worst. There's no leeway anywhere until, they push this to about like 10 games over.
Then we can maybe ease off
maybe
a little bit
at that point.
But in addition to what Bill James tweeted, it also has to do with the fact that in San Diego, there isn't an NFL team or an NBA team in terms of looking forward to training camps with an NFL team or whatever. We just have baseball. That matters, too. That plays into the level of interest
Some of
and
it.
Passion.
But if we were 15
maybe,
games over 500,
maybe.
We wouldn't be living and dying with every game the way we are now.
I don't know. I don't know, Chris.
Yeah, we
I'm
would.
Not
no.
sure.
No,
I
we wouldn't. I can tell you for...
Scraby, how in the world would you know? It is...
When was the last time we were 20 games over 500, so we would check it out.
Thank you. Matter of fact, I got a time. There was a time when we wasn't tripping as much. What was that? Was it the 21 season that they were like
2021?
It was like 12. It was like 20. No, it wasn't 20. It probably got to like 18 over at one point.
Yeah,
it was a lot chiller at that point. And then as soon as it crept closer to 500. Is when everybody's head started popping off. It was craziness going on, right? And so,
our pets' heads are falling
heads
off.
They're not falling off.
They're popping off. Yeah, furious. Pop. That's how it was going.
That was such a slow burn down the end of that season, too.
It was a very slow burn.
Well,
but nonetheless.
No, I think Bill James is right, man. We are
that's,
just.
That's, That's where we are.
Which we're living the high life today. So
I will suggest it one more time. It's better if you just go weekly at a time. Because if you're living and dying on every game, you might not make it to the end of the season. You might be completely exhausted by August.
Keep in mind, in mind with everything you've put yourself through out there, fans, in the ringer up and down, keep in mind there's 90 games left. Not 19, 90.
90.
Yeah. So U.S. Open real quick is underway today. Patrick Cantlay is the leader in the clubhouse at -5, but look out. Here comes Bryson DeChambeau, 4-under through 14, and Scraby's favorite, Rory McIlroy, 4-under through 16, both just a shots off the lead. I think the big story today is that Scottie Scheffler, the odds-on favorite here, has scuffled to a 2-over par through 16 holes. So
did he assault a police officer on the way in today?
Maybe he should have. He might have golfed even better.
I never got to discuss this with you guys at all.
That's true.
The final outcome of what it is happening there. Yeah, the Scheffler gate. I mean, I'm just saying, it did turn out to be as at least told to us the first time.
That's right.
I mean, I envisioned police officers are being like dragged
yes.
with like into the dirt and
yeah,
like rolled on the ground. At least maybe that's my fault for having that kind of imagination.
No, we all pictured that.
but that's not exactly what happened. I know we're getting off
no.
here. Something happened a while ago, but that was kind of outrageous.
No, that never came close to living up to the billing. Tiger Woods finished at 4-over par today, and Phil Mickelson 9-over. So there's your U.S. Open update. Leads us into some scores and winners and losers around sports, otherwise known as the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Rope Summer Baseball League and Camps. This week is the last chance to call to register for your ball player ages 6 through 12 for the Baseball Summer League. It's going to be an awesome summer of player development and competition.
Woo!
Registration closes this Friday, June 14th.
Oh, yes!
Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com.
This is the best news, guys.
What just happened?
Couldn't contain myself. Sorry, Scrape.
This guy was standing up in the middle of whatever you were. I stopped
paying
anything you read, Scrapey.
This is unbelievable.
What happened?
Nah, I'm way overreacting. NHL's new team in Salt Lake City will be known as the Utah Hockey Club.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
He got his wish.
I love it. I got my wish. I got my wish. That brings back the glory days of Washington FC.
It has nothing to do with Washington football team.
Now I just spit
all over my computer because I'm so angry at this. How stupid can you be? The Utah Yeti is the only answer.
Utah HC.
That might be too risque for my good folks in
risque?
Utah. They wanted the hockey club.
They
so
got the hockey
got.
Club, baby. I'm getting a jersey, Scrab. You don't want to know what to get me for my birthday? I want a Utah Hockey Club jersey. I'm excited now.
Oh, my goodness.
Fired up. Fired up.
Well, thanks for stopping the show for that terrible news, Chris.
For that terrible news.
That is annoying, though. It's so annoying. Like, okay, let's pick the name that everybody wants. Yeah, not the Yeti, the Hockey Club. Okay, I'll move on.
Scraby, don't be a hater, bro.
We're going to be talking about that on the Scraby Show a little bit later, for sure. All right, we made some bets on Tuesday. We made was the Atlanta Dream and the Mystics. I don't know where they play.
Washington.
I don't know where they
The play. Dream. We're 7-point favorites in this one. I know that they're Atlanta. But both Chris and I chose the Dream, and the Dream won big. They won by 19, 87-68. Seattle Storm played the LA Sparks. The Storm were minus 11.5 on the spread. Both Chris and I chose the Sparks. The Storm ended up winning, and they won big, 95-79. So 16 points there. Asia Wilson over under 27.5. I just saw what Adam put up on our YouTube screen. By the way, you need to join in the YouTube fun if you haven't yet. Just go to YouTube, search 973 The Fan, and you'll find us. Asia Wilson over under 27.5 points. Chris went under. I went over. And I barely made it, but I did 28 points for Asia Wilson in that game.
She's a baller.
Yeah. She is. Then Padres A's over under 8 runs in Tuesday night's game. Chris said under. I said over. And we can't even mention what these names are. Padres went 4-3, so it was under. Drew Thorpe made his debut, the Padres' once prospect, for about 3.5 days. Over under 5.5 strikeouts in his debut. Chris went under, I went over, and it was under with 4 strikeouts. So there we go.
There we go. All right, so that was the we didn't bet last night because we didn't have a very long show, but we will talk about the NBA Finals in just a little bit. Here are some of the games for tonight, guys. The Stanley Cup Finals continue. Game 3 up in Edmonton with Florida ahead, 2-0. The Oilers obviously need to win Game 3. And with that, the Oilers are a 1.5-goal favorite. Scraby, you going with Edmonton to get back in the series, or does Florida put the hammer lock on?
No, I think the Oilers get back into the
Edmonton
series
this time. Yes, Tony, yes. You want to go on this one?
Yeah, my partner's rooting for the Panthers, so I'm going to go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you're a South Florida guy. Oh, you're going to root against your partner, Jesse Agler.
Yeah, I don't know much, but I do know that I like the McDavid kid.
Yeah. Well, he's been shut down, as they all have. Edmonton only scored 1 goal in the first 2 games of the series combined. I'll take Florida. Either they go up 3-0 or Edmonton wins a very tight 1-goal game. So either way, I'll take Florida there. Over and under is 5.5 goals. Both the first 2 games have gone under. Tony, what do you think tonight in Edmonton with the high-flying Oilers at home?
We're going over.
Going
if
over
I
want, tonight.
If I'm picking Oilers, they got to go over.
They got to go. I think this game will go over as well. The goaltending has been great, but it's due for a night of goal scoring. Scraby?
I'm going to go against you guys and go under. Oilers
like
went 2-0.
Why are you doing that? Because you are the
contrarian.
Oh, he added some pipes to that
he
one.
Did.
We haven't done that in so long. I needed to.
Yes. Caitlin Clark tonight's back in action at home. The Indiana Fever host to the Atlanta Dream again. Caitlin, 17.5 points over under. I'm going to go over. She's had some really good games. She had a rocky outing last time, but that was against Connecticut, the top team in the league. I think against Atlanta, she gets back in form. I'll go over. Scraby?
This is tough for me.
Why is this tough for you?
I don't know.
Why is it particularly tough?
He just was filling time there. I was not filling time.
I'm going over.
I'm going to say over. She's had about a week off, and I think the rest is going to be good for her.
Yeah, there's still a lot of criticism, I think, of not of her, but of just the way the whole media has covered this whole thing with Caitlin Clark. And
it's been crazy.
There really should be criticism because they're taking away from a really great time in the sport and not just letting her play some really good basketball. She's like any rookie. She's had some good games and some bad ones. But all anybody wants to do is focus on the hip check and all of that stuff.
There's a clear lack of respect for the skill level that is in that league. And I think that's shaping how people are not people. Really, it's really mostly men and how they're talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, they haven't, I don't know. Most people who seem like are watching the sport now are just coming to it for the first time and don't, or just talking about it in this way in the first time. And it's like they don't respect the fact that these women have been in this league. And it's been a skillful league for a very, very, very long time. And I think that's shaping how people are talking about it.
I couldn't agree more, Tony. And Stacey Terry Hudson was on with us the other day. And I think she said much of what you just said. Also tonight, the Las Vegas Aces, the two-time defending champs, are at Phoenix. Las Vegas is favored by 5.5, but the Aces are in the middle of a three-game losing streak heading into this one tonight in Phoenix. Graby, who are you going with here? Phoenix at home gets 5.5 points.
Phoenix at home gets 5.5.
Both teams have a 500 record for the season.
I'm going to go with the Aces.
Las Vegas. Tony?
By the way, I enjoyed watching Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson get teed up the other day. They were hot about
good.
Some calls. And it's just, you can just see that the competition is
they
rolling.
Should get hot over some of the officiating in that league. That you know, the league is improving. The officiating's got to keep up with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. Is it Phoenix and
Phoenix is home.
Reno?
Phoenix is home. Las Vegas favored
did
by 5.5.
You say Reno?
You said Reno. He did.
I'm sorry, Las Vegas.
He's in the darkness of a New York City hotel room. Did you see that view he doesn't have?
No. That's not an excuse. I don't know how. I don't know why Reno even came out of my mouth on that, honestly. We'll go with Las Vegas to
Las Vegas.
Get off the schneid here.
I'll be the contrarian. I'll take Phoenix. Plus the 5.5 at home. Diana Taurasi would never let me down. Rangers and Dodgers, 9 runs tonight with those two teams in L.A. Sounds like an over to me.
Didn't the Dodgers just beat the Rangers 15-2?
Last night, the Rangers came back 3-1. So what kind of game do we get tonight?
Ago.
Yes.
So
what do you get
ago.
Tonight? Over. Actually, 3-2. Kirby Yates got the last out. They threw out the tying run trying to score at the plate.
Pajes ran through a stop sign.
Oh, did he run through a stop sign?
Yeah,
I did not see that.
Ran through a stop sign. And they had a clear picture of my man Dino Ebel putting the hand up, and my man just ran right on
through. I didn't see
it.
That. I saw a very angry Dave Roberts challenging the call, even though he knew he had no hope in hell of getting it overturned.
After last year, why wouldn't you challenge?
You might as well try.
Interference.
Yes,
you never know. They might mess it up.
They might, but they didn't, and Texas hung on for the win. Scraby, who do you got? 9 runs tonight.
I'm
going
to go over, and I have to make a quick clarification. The Mystics won, not the Dream.
I was about to say that was their first win of the season.
Yeah. Yeah,
the game
Mystics
the other
won.
Night. So the Wii U and I lost that wager.
Yeah, we lost that wager.
The Mystics
nice job,
won.
Scrape.
That a boy. Bear misinformation.
David on Twitter, let me know.
Shout out to David for
thank you,
being
David.
On Scraby's drop ball there.
Yeah. Tony, Texas Dodgers drop ball.
Looks like we got a Michael Lorenzen, Michael Grove matchup. Yes. They will reach the numbers.
We're all going over.
Over
and then
okay.
Garrett Crochet of the White Sox tonight, future Padre left-hander, 7.5 strikeouts, over, under, at Seattle. Tony.
Under.
Under.
Yeah.
All right. He normally gets more than 7.5, so I'm going to say over. Scraby?
I'm going to say over as well.
All right. There's our picks for tonight. Let's see how we do. Take a break, come back, more Gwen and Chris, but ahead, not only the NBA Finals, which are probably all but over now, but I wanted to get Tony's thoughts. I talked about it some yesterday, but the life and times of the legendary Jerry West. When we come back, after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
625 here in New York City, 325 in San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby here with you. NBA Finals, Jerry West. We'll start with NBA Finals first. Real quick story. Well, I told you guys know I went to the East-West game back in Cooperstown, tribute to the Negro Leagues, and I got to hang around a lot of my former colleagues, friends, some teammates. And as I said, when I told you guys, there's a lot of trash talk that happens during these segments. And we debated a lot of things from Kendrick Lamar and Drake to the NBA Finals. And one of the things that came was Dexter Fowler felt very strongly about the Boston Celtics being the better team and winning the series. And, of course, being that even if I thought he was right, I don't pick the Celtics under any circumstance.
No, you and I did our best to figure out a way that Dallas could win.
Yes, and so I certainly was very adamant. I eventually had to leave the room to go to a meeting, but apparently everybody was ganging up on Dexter about his choice of team and how he felt about it. He proceeded to – I got off the plane at about 1:45, and actually during the flight, he was in rare form on the text chain yesterday, getting after everybody, wanting apologies. He asked that if you didn't step out front and acknowledge the fact that you were wrong, he was going to call you out personally in that group chat. And so it got pretty testy in there in terms of the Celtics taking the lead that they had. But many people feel the same way I do in that particular group, is that under no circumstances will they ever admit that the Celtics are better than whatever said team. So I just thought I'd throw it out there. He is right. The Celtics look like they are well on their way to a sweep of this series. There has been a lot of exposed things about this Dallas team. In particular, Luka.
Luka, yeah. He's taking a beating right now, Tony. He really is.
They are singling him out and attacking him pretty much every time down.
Yes, they are.
And whether it be the injuries that he has, that he's played through, coming to fruition, or that he can't slide his dogs fast enough, they are taking full advantage. And I think yesterday was like the icing on the cake. They fouled him out. He was kind of doing the thing that Luka gets accused of doing very often, complaining to the officials.
Oh, you mean crying?
No, I mean complaining.
He was whining pretty good.
He was.
You know, not only that, Tony, when he got the sixth foul, I don't know if you saw the clip, he looked over at his bench and he said, "You guys better bleep, 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 challenge that." Screamed it to his own bench. He also, there's a clip of him lying on the floor early in the game, yelling up at the officials, not getting back on defense, Boston hitting a three. There's a lot of people really in Luka's, grill right now about everything that's happening. They're blaming the whole series on him, his turnovers, his missed free throws, the fouls. I think you're right, though, with what you said. I think he's hurt. He's been taking pain-killing shots before every game of this series. There's no way he can be 100%. Now, I don't know that he's a great defender, but I don't think he's this bad as he's showing right now.
I think it's only fair to say this.
On the other side, he does, and I've said this before, he's got to learn how to play through the officiating because it is holding him back.
Yeah, and I think that was apparent. Especially last night. It's been apparent in this series, but it was more so noticeable in what seemingly was a must win for them last night. He wasn't getting the call, and they weren't going to give it to him. And instead of playing through it and kind of maybe adjusting his focus, he just fell deeper and deeper. And part of that, I think, has to do with the one thing that we do in today's media is we take a situation like him not being able to play defense, right? That's always been a knock on him. He's not the best defender. And, we'll take a series like this where he is just getting beat down. Like, they are just attacking him but then we, forget about the whole news that he's been shot up before every game. Like, we just kind of throw that piece of information to the wayside because it's not as good of a story. It's much better for us to highlight the fact that he can't defend and that he's complaining about the referees far too much, which all is true. But I don't, like you said, Chris, I don't think he's as bad of a defender as it's looking.
He couldn't have got his team to the finals if he was this bad. I mean, look, they beat three legit teams to get here. I know that Kawhi got hurt. But the Clippers are legit. Oklahoma City's young, but legit, and so's Minnesota. So Dallas played some good basketball to get here.
If I'm not mistaken, they're the first team to knock out 350 win teams since the Lakers did it.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
Back in the day. So
yeah,
they definitely had to play some teams, but it just seemed the one thing that we often don't talk about in terms of how you win an NBA final is the attrition that you have to take on to get to the finals. And can you then get through that portion to finish the deal?
And Boston did have a much easier path with, and I'm not trying to take their credit away, but I kind of am because I don't like the Celtics. and you don't either. So, but the fact that Jimmy Butler missed the first series, Donovan Mitchell missed the second series, and Tyrese Halliburton missed the third series certainly made it a little easier on the Celtics. Let's be fair about that. And they
got knocked out of didn't make the finals.
But the other part of it is the Celtics have been also doing it with pretty much without Kristaps Porzingis, who's one of the key players on their squad.
And he's probably not going to play the rest of this series. So,
and it doesn't look like they're going to need him.
Okay, let's shift gears because I know we're running out of time. We're trying to stay on track here, but it just seems like it's impossible.
Today. Quick thing on Jerry West, Tony. I mean, I talked about how legendary he is. I know he was before your time as a player, but certainly not as an executive.
I caught him as a wonderful executive.
Yeah,
though.
And there was a couple things I left out saying yesterday. One was the fact that he's portrayed awful on the show Winning Time.
Which is why I didn't watch it.
Right. If you have to watch that show, remember it's not a documentary. Jerry West is class personified. No, everyone who's ever run into him will tell you the same thing. Secondly, is the fact that his amazing career as a player, Tony, included him losing in the finals 7 times before he finally won his lone NBA championship. He lost 4 game 7s in the finals before he won his first championship. And I bring it up because Jerry West goes down as one of, if not the greatest player in the history of the sport, the logo, the legend that he is. But at the time, I bet you if there was sports talk radio like there is now, people would have said, oh, that Jerry West, the ultimate choke, can't get the job done, fails every time, he's never going to win a ring, and and now look at where Jerry West is. I think we should keep that all in mind, when we criticize our current athletes who they don't all win championships. And Jerry West was the ultimate loser before he became a winner. And I just think it needs to be pointed out.
I saw a clip of him hating the fact that he was the logo. He could not stand it. He said that he didn't know what was happening. And then when the commissioner, it wasn't David Stern, who was ever the commissioner before David Stern was the one.
Yeah, I don't
that
remember.
Got it done.
Yeah.
He said that it's the one thing he wished that would change. And he had somebody in mind that he wanted it to be, but he didn't want to mention the name in the particular interview.
Would have been Bill Russell, who beat him every time finals.
Probably would have been. But he's probably one of the only people that will be able to be as good as he was as a player and then equally, if not better, as an executive. I mean, the move he pulled to bring in Shaq and Kobe in the same year will go down as one of the best off seasons.
It happened in a week.
Time.
So the best week of all time. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry West, man.
Rest in peace, Jerry West.
Yeah, that was a hard loss yesterday for a lot of people, and especially everybody in the basketball world, for sure. All right, you're up.
Is it me? All right, let's get to breaks. Great, what we got next?
The radio call.
All right, we get back to one of you guys' favorites. Rate the radio call up next.
All right, 3:40 is the time, Costello. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Adam Klug. Cast of thousands here on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Rate the radio call is a moment or two away. But first, Greg is on the line, and I wanted to add something real quick to our Jerry West conversation. Greg, thanks for calling. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chris. Hey, I'm not sure how old you are, but we talk the same language. So I'm 62.
the Lakers and Jerry West were part of, I don't know how old I was, but growing up. So I want you to help me with the team. So it was West and Goodrich. It was like the end of Will Chamberlain going into Alcindor and Jabbar. Who else is on that team? I'm trying to run it through my head, but it was such, you know, I just can't believe they didn't win the championship. But who else was on those teams?
Yeah, well, Happy Hairston was kind of, you remember that name at all? Happy Hairston.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he was kind of the rebounding specialist on that squad. Elgin, of course, was the scoring forward, but he was really at the very end of his career on the teams you're talking about. Early in the 60s, of course, it was Elgin and Jerry West before Wilt got there. So that's pretty much what they had. They added a couple of other, you know, parts, but I mean, Goodrich was a 25-point scorer, as was Jerry and, you know, Wilt. So they had plenty of offense, and the year they won 69 games, a record that stood for over two decades, and won 33 in a row, which is a record that may never be topped in any sport. That's pretty much the squad. So, you know, I remember Jerry just like you do, and we're about the same. So thanks for sharing, Greg. Appreciate that. I can never talk enough about Jerry West. Tony, I did get to meet him a couple of times when I was covering the team and sat in his office, I told Scraby yesterday, and talked to him, you know, just a little bit about basketball and, you know, doing a couple of stories. And you'd walk out of his office and you'd go, wow, did I really just get to talk to Jerry West? That was that was cool. That was good.
It's definitely sad that he didn't end up, him and Dr. Buston ended up on the greatest terms, and the organization didn't, you know, end up on the greatest
terms. They didn't. Bill Plaschke's story today in the Times talked about the fact that it was actually the Clippers who released news of Jerry West's passing yesterday, not the Lakers, even though I think he'll always be associated with the Lakers. But at the end,
it ended sour, for sure.
It did. It did. All right, let's check a little traffic, and then Scraby returns with Rate the Radio Call.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Traffic is sponsored by the Fish Market, serving the freshest catches from waters near, far, and everywhere in between. As we are off to a very rough start this afternoon, got a big problem on northbound 163 before Mesa College. Three right lanes are blocked with a collision. Also, southbound side of the 15 before the King Freeway, there is a crash involving a couple vehicles, not showing if lanes are blocked. Now, southbound side of the 805, dealing with an accident right at the 15 and toward the South Bay, south outside the 805 before the 54. Got a collision. Everything has been moved over to the right shoulder. Still an accident on southbound side of the 125 right before Spring Street. That's being cleared out of the roadway. Skip the fried food when visiting the Sand Eagle Fair this year and grab some healthy fresh catch at the Fish Market. So good. The Fish Market off the 5 next to the Del Mar Fairgrounds in downtown on North Harbor Drive. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
He throws, it's caught. Mixon streaking down the sideline to the 20. Gets a block from Chase and runs it into the end.
We got some radio calls. Gwen and Chris are going to rate them.
Right-handed hitter back in there. Strasburg ready to go.
It's Rate the Radio Call.
A 1-2 pitch slider. Strike 3-4. A no-hitter.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, man, it's been so long since we've heard that open. It's good to have it back, and this was requested by all of you out there, so we wanted to give you what you guys want, which is Rate the Radio Call. We have, let me see, we have four calls today. We have two of the same play from each side, and then we have a college baseball play. We also have a home run call from Sunday with the Astros and the Angels. That was kind of confusing, so I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys say about that. But basically what I do here is I play the call. Guys are going to rate it on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the greatest call they've ever heard, 1 being the worst call they ever heard, and then Chris will give it a 0 if he doesn't think it needs any points at all. But we're a little bit farther along from those days. Those were like the Southeastern Saginaw State guys that we were giving zeros to, right, Chris?
Yeah, a lot of them, yes.
A lot of them, okay. Directional Saginaw States guys. Let's get started with our first one. And Adam, I got the audio over here, so hopefully this works, but This was the college baseball World Series Super Regional. It was the bottom of the 13th between Florida and Clemson. Florida, the home team. Clemson was up 10-9. The bases were loaded for Florida, and there was one out.
Michael Robertson at the plate. He can be the hero. Swinging a line drive, base hit in the left field. Here comes Guy. He's going to score. That'll tie the game. Right behind him, sliding in his shell nut. Omaha for the Gators.
So I got to say, I had to go to the Florida Gators baseball website to get this call, so a lot of it is cut off, but that's what you get. The player's name was Shellnut, if you heard something different there at the end. But, Chris, you're up first today. 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
Yeah, and just what I heard I thought was good, but I didn't hear enough.
Do you want to hear it again?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that amazing, but it had all the nuts and bolts, right? I mean, you know, I got the base hit, I got the tying run coming in, I got the winning run coming in behind him. Omaha, here come the Gators. Not bad. Not my all-time favorite celebration. So I'm gonna give it a 6 because I think it's just slightly better than average.
Okay. 6. Tony, what do you give this call, 1 to 10?
I'm going to give it a 6 as well. I don't know. There was something missing from it, and maybe it's the fact that we didn't get to hear a lot of it. It was, you know, the send them to the World Series call kind of was a little corny.
Oh, my God.
It was a little cheesy.
That was corny.
You know, it was. I'll give them a 6, though. It was above average.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It had the nuts and bolts, but I need a little more than that when I'm going to the College World Series, especially if anybody followed Florida this year. That was a they were one game over 500 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And now they're in the College World Series. So that's quite
sure
the story.
The way he was saying Omaha, I wasn't sure if he was audibling or if he was telling us that they were going to the World Series.
Yeah. Omaha! Omaha! That does mean a whole different thing. All right, so there's that one. The second call was from this past Sunday. The Astros were at the Angels at 7-7 in the bottom of the ninth. One on and one out. Josh Hader pitching for the Astros. Is it Logan Ohapi?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know why that sounds so weird to me. Logan Ohapi of the Angels hitting. Here is Angels Radio.
Here's the pitch on Ohapi, and he swings, lifts a high fly ball that's carrying deep out into left center, and jumping up and coming away with that one, or not. And a throw back to first base, and this ball is a home run.
So after all that, he gets into this ball's a home run. Now, I went to go look at the TV play because I wanted to see how confusing this really was. TV did not have as hard of a time with it that he did. But I know recently, Tony, you and Jesse have had a couple calls. I can specifically remember Jazz Chisholm Jr. You guys didn't know if he had the ball or not. Is this a thing now with guys trying to hide the ball if it goes over the fence? Because
I don't think there's – see, that's the thing is I know that that's how it is interpreted. I don't think they're thinking about our call. They're not like jumping over. It's like, oh, I'm gonna decide to show.
I'm gonna
this
try
ball
to mess
late.
Jesse Agler up.
Yeah,
the whole world is in my hands right now.
I think, with the exception of Julio Rodriguez last year, robbing was it Toddy? I think it was
yeah,
Toddy.
I think so. Yeah,
he robbed Toddy of a homer. And even in that case, he's not thinking about us. He might be messing with Toddy, but he's not thinking about our call at least. I don't think that's what they're doing. I think in Jazz's case, he went up. He was pissed that he didn't catch it, so he was kind of like, I think that's all it is.
For this one, it is a hard call. 1 to 10, yes.
This call, this is difficult because, especially on the radio, you don't get the same looks that the TV is getting at, you know, in real time. You kind of are dependent on whatever your screen is showing you. And in that particular case, the left fielder caught the ball and then dropped it as he was coming out. Even he thought he had it.
Yeah.
So, it's not a great call, but I feel like I can't penalize him for not understanding. So I'm gonna give it a 6.5.
Okay.
It's still an above average call, but I think this call can only be a 6.5 unless you just guessed and got it right.
Okay. Chris, 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
I think Tony did a great job breaking that down. Terry Smith is the guy who called that, and I think he's one of the better radio guys in baseball. And up until the moment of question, it is an absolutely perfect radio call. I mean, he builds the excitement, the momentum of a possible game-winning home run. We know that if this is home run, Angels win. But there is nobody who saw that game on TV or anywhere else who knew whether it was a home run, at least of all the umpire. I mean, there was no chance. And like Tony says, the guy dropped the ball, the left fielder, got it back somehow. I think he threw the ball in. So how could you think that's a home run if you're calling it? And then they signal home run. It was so confusing. The only thing he might have been able to do better, and if he had to do it again, he might have just said that. You know, here's a play. It's right at the fence. And there's a lot of confusion right now. Nobody's quite sure whether he caught it or not. Yeah. I think that would have been the way to go. And then, you know, wait for a result. But 6.5 or 7 because it couldn't have been any higher. He did okay with it.
I got to tell you, this call came up in our visit today.
Really?
And this call was
to the replay center in New York.
This call was extra special because not only did you have the home run that was or was not, you also had Ohapi almost pass the runner who was on first. And it was like I know for my soccer people out here, it was close enough that. You know how they show the little line, and they show the guys the piece of clothing that maybe put them offside. Like that's how close it was for Ohapi passing whoever was on first. And they then also had to look at if the runner who was ahead of Ohapi actually touched second base going around. And those, and so all of that is happening as they're reviewing that play, that last play. They had three different things they're checking at the same time.
Wow, that is intense. I didn't think about it like that, but that is definitely an intense situation. And I'm glad I'm not in that room because I would probably mess it up. All right, let's go to the third call. This is White Sox at the Mariners on Monday. White Sox were leading this one 4-0 heading into the bottom of the eighth. The Mariners tied it up. I'm sorry?
An extension alert. Something just went down. We'll talk about it after.
Oh my gosh. Okay. The Mariners tied it up, so there is 4-4, and this is the bottom of the ninth. The Mariners once again have the bases loaded, and here is Mariners radio.
Here's the stretch, and the 2-0 on the way to Cal Raleigh. Swinging a well-hit ball. Deep to right field. Going and going. Grand ball. Get out the right. Bread and mustard. It is grand salami time.
All I gotta say is I'm hungry now and I want some salami sandwich with on rye bread. But Chris, you're up first here. 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
Well, the grand salami sandwich there, I think, is taking from the call of the legendary Dave Niehaus in Seattle and carrying it on into a new era. But I give it a 10. I had no, yeah. I loved it. I thought every bit of it was good. The excitement, the description, perfect. Good call,
Tony.
10 for me, Rick Riz, one of the best in our game right there, giving you bringing back the grand salami call, fitting, obviously, for many reasons.
Yes, I want to play on the other side real quick. The sad walk-off from the White Sox side. It is depressing.
It is.
It's depressing. So we'll do that. Also, Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. Get in line. You could take on Chris to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, 3:40 is the time, Costello. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Adam Klug. Cast of thousands here. On Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Rate the radio call is a moment or two away. First, Greg is on the line, and I wanted to add something real quick to our Jerry West conversation. Greg, thanks for calling. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chris. Hey, I'm not sure how old you are, but we talk the same language. So I'm 62. The Lakers and Jerry West were part of, I don't know how old I was, but growing up. So I want you to help me with the team. So it was West and Goodrich. It was like the end of Wilt Chamberlain going into Alcindor and Jabbar. Who else is on that team? I'm trying to run it through my head, but it was such, I just can't believe they didn't win the championship. But who else was on those teams?
Yeah, well, Happy Hairston was kind of, you remember that name at all? Happy Hairston.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he was kind of the rebounding specialist on that squad. Elgin, of course, was the scoring forward, but he was really at the very end of his career on the teams you're talking about. Early in the 60s, of course, it was Elgin and Jerry West before Wilt got there. So that's pretty much what they had. They added a couple of other, parts, but I mean, Goodrich was a 25-point scorer, as was Jerry and, Wilt. So they had plenty of offense, and the year they won 69 games, a record that stood for over two decades, and won 33 in a row, which is a record that may never be topped in any sport. That's pretty much the squad. So, I remember Jerry just like you do, and we're about the same. So thanks for sharing, Greg. Appreciate that. I can never talk enough about Jerry West. Tony, I did get to meet him a couple of times when I was covering the team and sat in his office, I told Scraby yesterday, and talked to him, just a little bit about basketball and, doing a couple of stories. And you'd walk out of his office and you'd go, wow, did I really just get to talk to Jerry West? That was cool. That was good.
It's definitely sad that he didn't end up. Him and Dr. Buston ended up on the greatest terms, and the organization didn't, end up on the greatest terms.
They didn't. Bill Plaschke's story today in the Times talked about the fact that it was actually the Clippers who released news of Jerry West's passing yesterday, not the Lakers, even though I think he'll always be associated with the Lakers. But at the end,
it ended sour, for sure.
It did. It did. All right, let's check a little traffic, and then Scraby returns with Rate the Radio Call.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Traffic is sponsored by the Fish Market, serving the freshest catches from waters near, far, and everywhere in between. As we are off to a very rough start this afternoon, got a big problem on northbound 163 before Mesa College. Three right lanes are blocked with a collision. Also, southbound side of the 15 before the King Freeway, there is a crash involving a couple vehicles, not showing if lanes are blocked. Now, southbound side of the 805, dealing with an accident right at the 15 and toward the South Bay, southbound side of the 805 before the 54. Got a collision. Everything has been moved over to the right shoulder. Still an accident on southbound side of the 125 right before Spring Street. That's being cleared out of the roadway. Skip the fried food when visiting the San Diego Fair this year and grab some healthy fresh catch at the Fish Market. So good. The Fish Market off the 5 next to the Del Mar Fairgrounds in downtown on North Harbor Drive. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the really, really good.
Back to the wall. It's good. Home run derby. And there will be tomorrow.
To the really, really bad.
Open. He throws. It's caught. Nixon streaking down the sideline to the 20. Gets a block from Chase.
Baby.
And runs it into the end.
We got some radio calls. Gwynn and Chris are going to rate them.
A right-handed hitter back in there. Strasburg ready to go.
It's Rate the Radio Call.
A 1-2 pitch slider. Strike 3-4. A no-hitter.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, man, it's been so long since we've heard that open. It's good to have it back, and this was requested by all of you out there, so we wanted to give you what you guys want, which is Rate the Radio Call. We have, we have four calls today. We have two of the same play from each side, and then we have a college baseball play. We also have a home run call from Sunday with the Astros and the Angels. That was kind of confusing, so I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys say about that. But basically what I do here is I play the call, Guys are going to rate it on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the greatest call they've ever heard, 1 being the worst call they ever heard, and then Chris will give it a 0 if he doesn't think it needs any points at all. But we're a little bit farther along from those days. Those were like the southeastern Saginaw State guys that we were giving zeros to, right, Chris?
A lot of them, yes.
A lot of them, okay. Directional Saginaw States guys. Let's get started with our first one. And Adam, I got the audio over here, so hopefully this works, but... this was the College Baseball World Series Super Regional. It was the bottom of the 13th between Florida and Clemson. Florida, the home team. Clemson was up 10-9. The bases were loaded for Florida, and there was one out.
Michael Robertson at the plate. He can be the hero. Swing and a line drive, base hit in the left field. Here comes Guy. He's going to score. That'll tie the game. Right behind him, sliding in his shell nut. Omaha for the Gators.
So I got to say, I had to go to the Florida Gators baseball website to get this call, so a lot of it is cut off, but that's what you get. The player's name was Shellnut, if you heard something different there at the end. But Chris, you're up first today. 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
Yeah, and just what I heard I thought was good, but I didn't hear enough.
Do you want to hear it again?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that amazing. But it had all the nuts and bolts, right? I mean, you know, I got the base hit. I got the tying run coming in. I got the winning run coming in behind him. Omaha, here come the Gators. Not bad. Not my all-time favorite celebration. So I'm going to give it a 6 because I think it's just slightly better than average.
Okay. 6. Tony, what do you give this call, 1 to 10?
I'm going to give it a 6 as well. I don't know. There was something missing from it, and maybe it's the fact that we didn't get to hear a lot of it. It was, you know, the send them to the World Series call kind of was a little corny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was a little cheesy.
That was corny.
You know, I'll give them a 6, though. It was above average.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It had the nuts and bolts, but I need a little more than that when I'm going to the College World Series, especially if anybody followed Florida this year. That was they were one game over 500 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And now they're in the College World Series. So
I wasn't
quite
sure
the story.
The way he was saying Omaha, I wasn't sure if he was audibling or if he was telling us that they were going to the World Series.
Right? Omaha! Omaha! That does mean a whole different thing. All right, so there's that one. The second call was from this past Sunday. The Astros were at the Angels. It's 7-7 in the bottom of the ninth. One on and one out. Josh Hader pitching for the Astros. Is it Logan Ohapi?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know why that sounds so weird to me. Logan Ohapi of the Angels hitting. Here is Angels Radio.
Here's the pitch on Ohapi, and he swings, lifts a high fly ball that's carrying deep out into left center, and jumping up and coming away with that one, or not. And a throw back to first base, and this ball is a home run.
So after all that, he gets into this ball's a home run. Now, I went to go look at the TV play because I wanted to see how confusing this really was. TV did not have as hard of a time with it that he did. But I know recently, Tony, you and Jesse have had a couple calls. I can specifically remember Jazz Chisholm Jr. You guys didn't know if he had the ball or not. Is this a thing now with guys trying to hide the ball if it goes over the fence? Because
I don't think there's – see, that's the thing is I know that that's how it is interpreted. I don't think they're thinking about our call. They're not like jumping over. It's like, oh, I'm gonna decide to show
I'm gonna
this
try
ball
to mess
late.
Jesse Agler up.
Yeah,
the whole world is in my hands right now.
I think, with the exception of Julio Rodriguez last year, robbing was it Toddy? I think it was Toddy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
he robbed Toddy of a homer, and even in that case, he's not thinking about us. He might be messing with Toddy, but he's not thinking about our call at least. I don't think that's what they're doing. I think in Jazz's case, he went up. He was pissed that he didn't catch it, so he was kind of like, I think that's all it is.
For this one, it is a hard call. 1 to 10, yes.
This call is difficult because, especially on the radio, you don't get the same looks that the TV is getting at, you know, in real time. You kind of are dependent on whatever your screen is showing you. And in that particular case, the left fielder caught the ball and then dropped it as he was coming out. Even he thought he had it.
Yeah.
So it's not a great call, but I feel like I can't penalize him for not understanding. So I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay.
It's still an above average call, but I think this call can only be a 6.5 unless you just guessed and got it right.
Okay. Chris, 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
I think Tony did a great job breaking that down. Terry Smith is the guy who called that, and I think he's one of the better radio guys in baseball. And up until the moment of question, it is an absolutely perfect radio call. I mean, he builds the excitement, the momentum of a possible game-winning home run. We know that if this is home run, Angels win. But there is nobody who saw that game on TV or anywhere else who knew whether it was a home run, at least of all the umpire. I mean, there was no chance. And like Tony says, the guy dropped the ball, the left fielder, got it back somehow. I think he threw the ball in. So how could you think that's a home run if you're calling it? And then they signal home run. It was so confusing. The only thing he might have been able to do better, and if he had to do it again, he might have just said that. You know, here's a play. It's right at the fence. And there's a lot of confusion right now. Nobody's quite sure whether he caught it or not. Yeah. I think that would have been the way to go. And then, you know, wait for a result. But 6.5 or 7 because it couldn't have been any higher. He did okay with it.
I got to tell you, this call came up in our visit today.
Really?
And this call was
to the replay center in New York.
This call was extra special because not only did you have the home run that was or was not, you also had Ohapi almost pass the runner who was on first. And it was like I know for my soccer people out here, it was close enough that. You know how they show the little line, and they show the guys the piece of clothing that maybe put them offside. Like that's how close it was for Ohapi passing whoever was on first. And they then also had to look at if the runner who was ahead of Ohapi actually touched second base going around. And so all of that is happening as they're reviewing that play, that last play. They had three different things they're checking at the same time.
Wow, that is intense. I didn't think about it like that, but that is definitely an intense situation. And I'm glad I'm not in that room because I would probably mess it up. All right, let's go to the third call. This is White Sox at the Mariners on Monday. White Sox were leading this one 4-0 heading into the bottom of the eighth. The Mariners tied it up. I'm sorry?
An extension alert. Something just went down. We'll talk about it after.
Oh my gosh. Okay. The Mariners tied it up, so there is 4-4, and this is the bottom of the ninth. The Mariners once again have the bases loaded, and here is Mariners radio.
Here's the stretch, and the 2-0 on the way to Cal Raleigh. Swinging a well-hit ball. Deep to right field. Going and going.
All I got to say is I'm hungry now, and I want some salami sandwich with on rye bread. But, Chris, you're up first here. 1 to 10, rate that radio call.
Well, the grand salami sandwich there, I think, is taking from the call of the legendary Dave Niehaus in Seattle and carrying it on into a new era. But I give it a 10. I loved it. I thought every bit of it was good. The excitement, the description, perfect. Good call.
Tony?
10 for me, Rick Riz, one of the best in our game right there, giving you the, bringing back the grand salami call, fitting, obviously, for many reasons.
Yes, I want to play on the other side real quick. The sad walk-off from the White Sox side. It is depressing.
It is.
It's depressing. So we'll do that. Also, Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. Get in line. You could take on Chris to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas here on 97.3 The Fan.
This This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.